Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Romans 8, 31 to 39, God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing on this Resurrection Sunday? Everyone good? Isn't Resurrection Sunday such a marvelous, joyous, celebratory occasion? That Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. That he is alive, that our God, who died on the cross for us, is alive. Death could not defeat him. Join with me this morning as I pray. Lord, we come before you today on Resurrection Sunday, on this holy week where we contemplate, we think, we remember, we celebrate what you have done for us on the cross and in the resurrection. Let this not just be a week of our life to remember this. Let this be a daily reality in our life. Lord, I pray that this morning as I speak, that you speak through me, that I fade into the background and that your word is proclaimed, that you are great, that you are made to be the pinnacle, that you are preeminent before anything. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name, in the name of our risen King's name, Jesus. Amen. We celebrated Good Friday not a few days ago, right here and all over the world in churches everywhere, some above ground, some underground, not in location but in reality. And we focused on the death of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, where our King was scourged. He was mocked, he was whipped and beaten, nailed to a cross and hung up in open shame before all to see. What appeared to be a tragedy only seems that way from an outside perspective. But when we begin to understand that Jesus was on a mission to lay down his life, he was on a mission to save his people, he became the ultimate Passover lamb whose blood was shed for his people once and for all. But this was only the beginning. You see, Jesus was not just a man who can be defeated by death. He was not just a man. He is the King of all glory. He defeats death and rises again. Let me say that again. He defeats death and rises again. You know something crazy? Is he is the first to do it ever. Death is the great leveler of mankind. You can live the most amazing life, have all the riches in the world. You can have all the success. You can be so notorious that everyone knows your name. You can have everything figured out. But my friends, when death comes knocking, it doesn't matter who you are. You cannot overcome it. We cannot overcome it. We cannot defeat it. But Jesus was not only a man, you see. He is fully God. He is God. He becomes the first one to ever look death in the eyes and overcome it. The first one to overcome death itself, to overcome the powers of hell, the weight of sin, the guilt of sin, and defeat it. Jesus was and is victorious over death. We are now free from our debt to sin, and we can welcome new life in Jesus. See, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday are not just a once a year occasion. They are the living reality of the Christian life. They are the reality of our daily lives if we know Christ. The cross and the resurrection are the central events. They are the center of our hope and life. See, every day is good because Jesus died for us on the cross. Because of what Jesus has done, we are free. Because of what Jesus has done, every day, not only do we live free from our sin, but we can live in the power of the resurrection, the power of life, because Jesus has defeated death. Without the resurrection, it'd be a very different version of Christianity. I can't really explain this myself better than Paul. So I'm just going to read some of Paul's words about this. If you want to follow along with me, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 34. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is excepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son will also be subjected to him, who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be in all. And it goes on to finish, and it says, otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger? We are in danger in every hour. I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as it is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Paul is absolutely convinced that the resurrection is not just a part of the Holy Week, the Passion Week, the Easter events, that the resurrection is the absolute capstone of the event of the cross. Without the resurrection, the cross is not complete, and our faith indeed is futile. See, Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. My first point this morning is that Jesus is risen. In a world that we live in where the word is, I-S, is not used with the weightiness that belongs to it. When we say Jesus may be risen, or in your understanding, from your view, from your cultural upbringing, Jesus may have been risen, that's how you come to understand it. But the word is can be lost, and it loses its power. When we say that statement, I proclaim as a preacher of the gospel that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. I don't care what anybody else says. He is risen. Our God is not dead. He is more than alive. See, the resurrection is the capstone of the Easter weekend. We can become guilty of being so cross-focused, not that that's a bad thing, that we can become so cross-focused that we lose sight of the resurrection. The absolute center and pinnacle of Christianity is Jesus and his death on the cross, paying for our sin, taking our place. But this is only half of the story. The complete picture is that Jesus not only died for us, but he defeated death by rising from the dead, and now is alive today. And because of this, we also can be alive today in him. And he is now here with us. And he is coming back. The full and complete picture of the gospel must include both the cross and the resurrection in absolute unison. Because that is the full, glorious gospel. See, the resurrection of Christ tells us and shows us so many things about Jesus. This is why it's so important. See, Jesus rising from the dead, firstly, it tells us that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is God. I don't see many people walking around who make these great claims of who they are, what they can do, what they can offer you, and say, if you kill me, in 3 days, I will rise again. You don't see many people walking around with that confidence, because they know that they are not God. Jesus is God. And when he said everything he said, and he says, watch this, You keep on asking me, are you God? Are you who they say you are? And he remained silent. He didn't protest because he was on a mission to lay down his life. But rising from the dead was the greatest announcement of all, that I am God. I am everything you said I was. And every single thing that I said now matters. As we look at the words of Christ in Scripture, we look at the Word of God as a whole, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead makes us take every single word seriously. Because who else has done that? Who else has claimed to be God and proved it? I don't see anybody putting up their hand. See, it's not only that Jesus has proved by rising from the dead that he is who he says he is, but that death could not hold him down. Death could not defeat him, that he is the first one ever to defeat death. He becomes the catalyst for the Christian life. That we, in the depths of our sin, in our sin, are imprisoned. We are dead. And Jesus, by dying on the cross, paying for our sin, becoming a substitute for us, rising from the dead, defeating death, now becomes the catalyst for life. You can now have life because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He's the first to defeat death so that we defeat death because of him, in him, and through him. We can now be alive. This world's limitations are no longer our limitations. We may live for 60, 70, 80, if we're lucky or blessed, 90, 100 years. But that's a limitation that we have without Jesus. But now, because of the resurrection of Christ in him, if he lives in us, we will live forever. His resurrection means that. He showed us what it's going to be like from then on, that we can live forever in Jesus, with Jesus, because of Jesus. The resurrection also shows us something quite interesting that not many people talk about. See, Jesus on the cross was not, as I talked about on Good Friday, was not a victim of politics gone wrong. Jesus on the cross, it wasn't like he lost control and he offended too many people. He was a revolutionary that stepped on too many people's toes, as you could say. And things got out of hand, and then the Romans didn't like that Jesus was a threat to Rome. The Jews didn't like that Jesus was a threat to their system of religion. That's not why Jesus died. Jesus died because he was on a mission. He had a purpose. He came to die. He came to lay his life down because of his love, to pay our price. And we see in the Old Testament that they had a thing called Passover. And so Passover was instituted with the Exodus, where the people of God, the people of Israel, were under captivity with Egypt and from Pharaoh. And God freed his people, it's called the Great Exodus. And in that, one of the last things that he said to Pharaoh, if you don't let my people go, the spirit of death, the angel of death, would pass over Egypt, and the firstborn sons of everybody would die, unless you shed the blood of a lamb and painted it on the doorpost of your house. And when the spirit of death would come over, the blood of the lamb would shelter and protect you from the wrath of God. You see, Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. He died on the cross as a once and for all thing. See, Passover was a yearly celebration. something they had to do every year. But Jesus became the Passover lamb, died on the cross as a spotless, perfect sacrifice, and paid in full once and for all. When he said, "It is finished," it truly was finished. Now, what's amazing is the fact that Jesus died, rises from the grave, breaks through death, and is the risen Christ. What this says is that what he set out to do was accomplished. That the Father looked upon what Jesus did on the cross and he was completely satisfied. Sin atoned for, sin paid for. Now let's begin the next part of the mission. See, our debt was indeed paid for, and the resurrection shows us that it was accepted and that we now can be truly free. A biblical scholar puts this well, saying, but his name is Matthew Barrett. By raising Jesus from the dead, God declared his satisfaction and approval of the payment Christ made on our behalf for our sins on the cross. And as those who are in Christ, God's approval of Christ's substitutionary death demonstrated in raising Jesus from the dead is likewise directed towards us, so that when we believe, we receive the favor of God. My second point this morning is that the resurrection, not only is Christ risen and is he alive, and is that a dead, set in stone reality? My second point is that this resurrection must then affect our lives. How does the resurrection directly apply to us as Christians? Let me tell you a little bit of a story about something that I love to do. I love to watch martial arts, boxing, any competitive form of fighting, really. Not because I get to see violence, but because these people have trained for some of them for 10 plus years, most of their life, on how to fight well. It's a sport of technique and intricacy, fitness, resilience. It is amazing to watch, especially when you know the backstory. But most of the time, you see, these big fights that I want to watch are on Sunday. I don't know why. Why are they always on Sunday? And usually at exactly the same time as church. It's like they looked it up and worked out where I was in the world at that time and what I was doing. Thought, that's when we're going to schedule the fight, exactly while church is happening. Because I know this guy's not going to miss church. Which as a pastor, you can imagine, I miss most of these fights. So I have to watch them later. But what happens is I have a problem. I have to be very careful, because if I go on social media, if I search around on the internet, if I talk to the wrong person, suddenly I know the result of the fight. And now I still want to watch it, but I know who is going to win. This changes my experience dramatically. I now know the outcome, but watching the fight is just as interesting. Will it be in the first minute? Will it take 25 minutes? How will this fight be won? But what I do know is who the victor is and who will be defeated. As Christians, in a similar way, the resurrection tells us who the victor is. It starts the fight, and it is a fight. But we know who has won already. So just like me watching a fight, knowing what the outcome is, just wondering, how is this going to happen? Maybe this fighter looks like he's going to be defeated. Maybe he's down. Everyone's gasping. Oh, the fight's lost. But I'm watching going, I know. I know the outcome. I know who wins. As Christians, in the same way, sometimes things may look a little different. Sometimes things may look like they're not working out. But ultimately, we do know who is victorious. We know that Jesus is the victor. Knowing this changes everything. See, he defeated death. It's already done. Death is already defeated. It's not something that still needs to happen. So we can live our lives in the reality that death is no longer after us. That death is no longer the great leveler of the Christian. That death is only the next step, the next stage to life. We do not need to fear death because death has now been defeated. Because we now have life. Death is merely the beginning. The next thing this changes in our Christian life is that Jesus is alive. Which means that he is active right now. It means that he is available to have a relationship with us now. We don't need to wait. It's not like we need to wait till we get to heaven to have a relationship with Jesus. It's like we don't need to wait and pray prayers thinking that nobody is there listening or will answer them. See, Jesus did not just die on the cross and it be finished with. He rose from the grave and is now alive and active and available. This is what the resurrection means. This is why we can't just preach the cross. We have to preach the cross and the resurrection. Because your God is not dead. Your God is alive and available. We can't live our Christian lives like God is dead. The world tells us he doesn't exist. They tell us if they truly study history properly, they will believe he existed, but that he's dead. But we know he's not, that he is risen and he's alive. Does our Christianity live in that reality of a living, alive Jesus? The next thing in our Christian life that is affected by the resurrection is that because of what Jesus did and rising from the grave, he therefore sends the Holy Spirit and lives in us. See, the Holy Spirit couldn't live in us in the past because we were full of sin. And God, being holy and perfect, can have nothing to do with sin. But he pays our price, takes away our sin, rises from the grave, defeats death itself. And now the Holy Spirit can come and live in us. Which means we don't have to go to the temple. We are the temple. We don't have to come to church to meet God. Church is where we are at. That doesn't mean we shouldn't come to church. Because when we are saved into a new family, into a body. As one people, just as when we get married, we become one, yet remain individuals. When we are saved and become Christians, we are brought into a new family. It's a reality, not a great idea. And the Holy Spirit, because of the resurrection, lives in us. The Holy Spirit can now make the Word of God alive. As you read the Bible, it's not just a book anymore. Because of the resurrection, the Bible is alive. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, revealing the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is alive. Not only that, the Holy Spirit lives in us and testifies that God is real, that he is in us, and that he is our source of joy, peace. He is our source of strength. He is our hope living in us. The resurrection means that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Do we live in that reality? The scripture for this sermon this morning that I've chosen is Romans 8:31-39. Let me read it out to you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge to God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us right now. He's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, maybe if we read this next part of the scripture, without a resurrected Christ, without living in a reality where the resurrection is what marks our Christianity, maybe this next part of the scripture will not ring true. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? But if Jesus has risen from the dead and he is alive and he paid our sin in full and he defeated death, now ask that question, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. It cannot. Because God himself laid his life down for us and defeated death. What in the world could ever come against that? What could ever defeat that? It's a one-time thing that only needs to be a one-time thing. Because it was the greatest defeat ever, ever known. What can separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? Ha! Distress? No way. Persecution? You've got to be dreaming. Famine? Yeah, right. Nakedness? I don't think so. Danger? Sword? No way. Why? Because my Jesus is risen and he's alive. Amen? He is risen and he is risen indeed. As it is written, for your sake we have been killed all day long. We regard it as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why? Because you rallied a lot of strength and courage, because you have read your Bible every day for 30 days straight, or because you give consistently, or because you help people, or because you serve, or because you try to be a good person, a good wife, a good husband, a good father, a good child. Are these things bad? No, they're amazing. But let's answer that question. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Why? Because our King, our catalyst, our example, our Lord, our God conquered death, and we are more than conquerors of these things because we have been led in victory, and we are led in the fight already victorious. We don't just conquer things, we survive, we prevail, we stand in victory before we begun, because That's why we are more than conquerors. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, I know an angel, a great angel, a perfect angel, a beautiful angel, said he was one of the most beautiful ever. I know an angel named Satan, Lucifer. But you know what happened? Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sin, and then defeated death and all the powers of hell and Satan. He is a defeated foe. Why am I sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers? Because death has been defeated. Life will not even get in my way. Not angels, not even Satan, nor rulers will get in my way. Not things present, nor things to come. No powers, no height, no depths, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because you try hard? Not at all. Because He is victorious and He has done it. God does the work in Christianity, not us. He does the dying on the cross. He does the rising from the dead. He does the saving. He does the redeeming. He does the justifying. He does the sanctifying. And He also reigns and rules. He does it all. We're just invited to come along and partake of the spoils of His victory, being able to be face to face with Him and enjoy life with Him. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, because we have been bought with a price, because the demands of death have been broken and Jesus has defeated death, because He has defeated Satan, because He is currently reigning from His throne in heaven as the head of His church. The resurrection is also important as a reality in our Christian life, because Jesus began the mission on the cross. He didn't finish it. He began it. It was only the start. He then rose again, and the mission continues. The cross and resurrection allows the mission of God to have power, allows the mission of God to even be a mission, and allows us to have hope, peace, joy, and salvation. That He didn't just die on the cross, rise again, and say, "I'm done." He ascended into heaven and He sits on His throne. Some passages describe it as His throne of grace, that out of His throne emanates His grace. And He sits on His throne, not passive, but reigning and ruling right now spiritually over His church. He is the head of His church. We think that we have any control, rhyme and reason in His church. He is the head of His church. It's not our church. We are just members of His glorious bride, His church. A question to ask ourselves is, how would our Christianity look different if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead? We can ask ourselves that question. But maybe the answer is that it wouldn't look any different. It was kind of maybe the death of Christ was something that happened in history, but it's not a present reality in my life. How would my life look different if Jesus didn't die on the cross? This brings me to an interesting question, and I won't really go into it much, but how do you see Jesus today? Do you see Him walking around the Middle East in clothes and customs of that time, like the pictures we see of Jesus? When you think of Jesus, is that where He is? Is that what he looks like? Is that how you relate to him? Is that how you see him? Or do we see a resurrected Jesus, a death-defeating Jesus, an alive right now Jesus? Do we see him like this? Best example of this, and this is one of my wife's favorite scriptures, Revelation 1, 12 to 18. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice is like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a two-edged sword. With his face was shining like the sun in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and I'm the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades." Is that the Jesus you worship? The way we see Jesus today matters. Do we see him as a wise teacher walking around? Do we see a political figure who showed us how to fight against oppression, against those who oppress us? Do we see a Jesus who showed us how to suffer well? Do we see a weak Jesus who was defeated by a bunch of men? Or do we see a triumphant, victorious Jesus who reigns from his throne in absolute power and majesty? See, Jesus' mission, church, has only just begun. Right now, he is actively pursuing us. Don't ever think that he's not. He is active in relationship with us. He hasn't left and abandoned us. He is a God of relationship. He is actively interceding for us. He is speaking, praying, acting on our behalf for us right now. And he cares for us right now. The Holy Spirit is at work in us right now. He is active in his word and through his word. And he has a mission to see every one of his lost sheep saved, to see them come home. That's what he's doing right now. The future? See, the resurrection did not just give us a ability to live in resurrection life now and defeat death. It also promised a future. Our future is secured in him. Our eternity is secured in him. Death has been defeated for us. We will live forever spiritually. See, Jesus, in the future, we know who is victorious because we know the end of the story. I love Revelation 7:9. This is the result of the work of his church as Jesus heads his church. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that none could number. From every nation, from tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, "Amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to God forever and ever. We look at this world and we wonder sometimes, God, what are you doing? Like when I watch a fight and I know who's already won, I think, I don't know, what are you doing right now? But we know he's victorious. And what's amazing, it didn't say because we did some amazing work. It's because God did some amazing work. The resurrection, the cross, guaranteed that because it's God who defeated death and is victorious. We know the outcome. And not only that, Jesus is coming back. A dead Messiah cannot return, but a living one can and will. He only began the work. The kingdom was inaugurated, but it is not consummated. It is not finished. He is coming back for his bride church. He is reigning now spiritually from his throne. He is waiting to come back to reign physically. This is now the reign of his church, but he will reign in absolute glory and power on earth. And no men, no women, no one will be able to hide from the Lamb or have any excuse, because he will be standing right there in front of you in all his glory and all his power. Not only that, is he will come back and he will establish the new heavens and the new earth. We hear that phrase and that statement. Sometimes we forget about how amazing it is. Check this out. Revelation 21, 22 to 27. And I saw no temple in the city. There was no temple. For its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And the lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will bring worldwide forever peace and justice. His kingdom will know no end. Not only is it always just good news, it also means that he will bring what is owed to everyone with him as well. It says in Revelation 22, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, what is owed, what is due, with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He will bring everything that is owed to everyone, the rewards of good work, the rewards of bad works, the rewards of sin. See, a resurrected Jesus is not just lying there, dormant, unactive, passive, watching the things in this world happen and not caring or interceding. He will bring justice to everything and to everyone. You see atrocity in this world happen, and there's no justice. My friends, there will be justice. He is storing up his wrath every moment, and he will pour out his wrath upon every injustice that happens in this world. Every child molester, every persecuted person, every atrocity that happens, every child murdered in the womb, he will bring his justice. It will not go unpunished, because he is alive and he is active and he is watching and he is waiting to come back and return. And that's scary. But if you know him, that's an amazing day. Because while he'll bring his wrath, you will be sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. He will be there as an advocate. He will be there to intercede. They will say, guilty, guilty, guilty. And Jesus will say, I paid the price. Here's my righteousness. Put it on. Now you're clean. Don't worry. I've got you. Don't worry. I've paid the price. We will be sheltered by his righteousness. As I close this morning, is our Jesus the resurrected Jesus? Is he just a figure from the past, a monument in history? Or is he alive today in this world, in your life? Do you know him or just about him? Everyone around you may see you as somebody who does, but the only one who really can see your heart is Jesus. And he really knows the depths of your heart, Jesus himself. It is not enough to just be satisfied with a little bit of Jesus. If he really is who he says he is, if he really did what he did, then we need all of Jesus. Is he your hope? Would you give everything for him? If everything in your world was taken away and you were left with just Jesus, is he enough? Would you be satisfied? Do you really know him? Not do others around you know him, but do you really know him? Is he the hope of your heart? Is he the source of your joy? Is he the source of your peace? Is he the source of your strength? Is his word a lamp under your feet, to your path? Do you know him? Church, he is alive. And he is coming back. Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming back. You have not abandoned us and left us. You are right here with us now, available, caring, and loving and victorious. If you don't know Jesus this morning, he paid so much for you because he loves you. It doesn't matter how great your sin is, how bad of a person you may think you are. Jesus defeated sin, paid for it. Your sin is not greater than what Jesus did. Your sin is not greater than his sacrifice. Your sin is not greater than his love. He is waiting and alive and active and available. Run to him. Repent of your sin. Come to him and he will give you life. And it truly will not just be Good Friday, but it will be amazing resurrection, triumphant Sunday. Join with me as I pray. Jesus, mighty God, you are holy and you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You are alive and you reign right now. I do not need to fear because my Jesus reigns. For those here who don't know you, save them. Let your Holy Spirit convict them of their sin and reveal your grace, love, and mercy to them this morning. For those who do, comfort them. Fill them with your peace, your love, and joy. And just as you touched John and said, do not fear, say to your people, do not fear, because I am with you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.